Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, our program continues our examination of what Ashton Applewhite calls aging while female. This is part two of a two-part program.
Our guest today is Ashton Applewhite, who is the author of This Chair Rocks, A Manifesto Against Ageism, and is PBS's 2016 Influencer of the Year. Welcome back to the program, Ashton.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Many women talk about how they feel invisible as they get older. What can we do to combat that invisibility?
I had this aha moment. I was coming out of the movies, and it was a matinee, and there was an escalator coming up out of the movie theater. A lot of people were older. I looked down, and I saw only one gray hair among all the women in the crowd, fair amount of gray hair among the men. And I thought, you know, this is one way in which we collude in making ourselves invisible as older women. And when a group is invisible, so are the issues that affect us. And again, I totally understand why people do this. And, you know, almost everyone I know who has white hair dyes it. I thought, wouldn't it be amazing to have a year of letting our hair go gray, where we could all go gray together, where it would be this amazing act of female solidarity. And again, only the women who don't like dyeing their hair to cover the gray. And the world would see how many of us there are and how beautiful we are. And I put it up on my This Chair Rocks Facebook page, and I got a ton of blowback from women saying, I would look crappy. I need to do what I want to do. Who are you to judge me for dyeing my hair? I ended up actually bleaching my whole head of hair white. I still have mostly brown hair, but just to see what it was like. And the point being, you know, it's always double-edged. We do collude in our own marginalization when we make ourselves invisible as older women, but that is a deal that the culture reinforces in a million ways, and it is a way for us to remain, quote-unquote, visible on the culture's terms. You know, that's why we need a social movement. We need to challenge this way of thinking at the broadest, most foundational level in order to become empowered on our own terms, on terms that are better for us and that don't reinforce patriarchy and sexism and ageism and looksism. I'm working with a much younger friend on a workshop of cross-generational younger and older women to bring us together to talk about aging and to talk about this power imbalance and how we can come up with new ways of thinking and behaving that are not zero-sum, that are not about competing, where it's not a model of scarcity but one of plenty and collaboration. And we're calling it You Will Look Like Us, because you will. And there is power and beauty in that, in addition to all the loss-driven narrative and the scarcity-driven narrative. And let's tell the whole side of the picture. I used to think that I was the only person who looked in the mirror and thought, what the hell happened? And now I know that's pretty universal, but I also understand where a lot of that narrative comes from. That is probably the most universal internalized sign of ageism, where we see the fact that our body is doing something perfectly natural, especially as women. We see our bodies go through all these amazing changes through our life, and we experience aging as betrayal and that face in the mirror as alien. And if the culture didn't barrage us with messages that those changes are ugly and we should push back against them, they would be more neutral and even, ideally, potentially a sense of power.
Ashton, you state that the women's movement taught us to claim our power. A pro-aging movement will teach us to hold on to it. How does that work?
What the women's movement did through the tool of consciousness raising and then broader forms of activism and art and political movements, etc., was brought women together to see that the problems that they were experiencing were not personal problems, but they were widely shared political problems that required collective action. Around aging, we're not there yet. We still think, oh, I should be stronger, or I should be more limber, or I should look better, I should have a facelift. No. The problem, likewise, is the culture that says that these natural transitions are problematic and that you should spend money doing things to cure or stop something that is not a problem and not a disease and not stoppable. So we need a broad-based cultural movement The women's movement said, whoa, we are being deprived of power and voice because of entrenched sexism. A pro-aging movement needs to say, we are being deprived of power and voice because of entrenched ageism in the culture. Those are shared political problems that require collective action. And only by joining those things and confronting them at all ages, it's essential to bring younger and older women together in this. If we show up at all ages for any activism, we dismantle ageism organically because we're age integrating whatever that event is. And we're also making it more effective. That's essential. That way we dismantle ageism organically.
What are some of the proactive steps to move our culture from anti-aging to pro-aging?
I would say the most important tool is consciousness raising. On my website, which is thischairrocks.com/resources, there is a booklet called Who Me Ages, How to Start a Consciousness Raising Group. So make a safe space for conversations around this. Again, ideally with people of all ages. That doesn't need to be just women. I think the ground has been plowed in a wonderful way, much more than it was for the women's movement, because the idea that diversity is necessary and positive, even in conservative business culture, is entrenched in the culture by now, and certainly way, way more. I'm going to now make a generational generalization, which is, of course, inherently ageist. But younger people understand, my kids' generation, they're in their early 30s, understand intersectionality, this idea that different forms of discrimination compound and reinforce each other. They understand that a diverse world is a better world and a more effective world if you want to get something done. So I think that the idea, the simple idea that age is a criterion for diversity, which you could argue is foundational to this new movement, is going to hit like seeds on soil that is ready for it. Whereas with the women's movement, the idea that women should be equal partners in business life and political life and social life, I think was a steeper hill to climb.
Ashton, that was so poetic that I think it's the best place that we could possibly end on. We both smiled as we heard the seeds on soil that is ready for it. And we want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much. Love talking to you guys.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to our website at chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.